It's really good to be with you, brethren, tonight, and I'm thankful that the congregation here has put in all the effort to host this, and I want to thank you for that and thank all the congregations in the area who have helped to make this possible as well. Tonight, the title of the lesson that's been assigned is Proper Pulpit Procedure. It's an example of what we call alliteration, and some of us like alliteration, but in case alliteration doesn't do anything for you, we have an alternate title, and that is How to Give a Good Lesson. How to Give an Edifying Lesson. And I hope that this will help us all to do that. Now, by giving an alternate title, I've put myself under a little extra pressure because it would be bad to give a bad lesson on how to give a good lesson. But by the grace of God, we will provide guidelines from the Scriptures on how God wants us to edify one another. Public speaking is a very important subject, and one of the reasons it's important is because there is a lot at stake. Whenever you get behind the podium, you have the potential to do so much good. You have the potential to do everlasting good. You could say things that someone will remember for the rest of their life. You could say things that will help somebody get to heaven. That's potential for a lot of good. But you also have the potential to waste a lot of time. You have the potential to damage the church. You have the potential to start a fire, to start a problem. So it's important for us to pay attention to what God has given us for guidelines on how to edify one another. And if we do that, brethren, we will edify and strengthen the church, and our time up here will not be a waste of time, and it will do no harm. I'd like for us to remember what we read in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 11, where the children of Israel, Judah in particular, are told to depart. Depart ye, go you out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go you out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. The first thing to remember in giving a good lesson is to be clean. Be clean, you that bear the vessels of the Lord, because we've come out of Babylon. Spiritually, we have come out of Babylon. Babylon was where we were in captivity, where we were subject to a priestcraft that is not taught in the New Testament. A priestcraft where we had to depend on somebody else for religious knowledge. The Bible was kept from us. We are out of that now. We now have the Bible. And if we want to maintain this freedom that we have, we must guard our freedom with watchfulness. We must take care of it and use it wisely. That means those of us that teach, we need to be careful how we teach. Teach in a way that edifies and builds up the church. And don't abuse this great privilege we have. Now, to use this privilege, we must be clean. Jesus told us that we are clean through the words that he speaks. And the words that he speaks are his commandments, his will for us. Jesus says that we are to love one another as he has loved us. If I come up into the pulpit and I don't love my brethren, I'm not clean. How am I going to edify the church if I really don't care about my brethren? So I need to make sure I'm clean before I get up here, that I really do care about the church, and that I'm not trying to hurt anybody or take out my grumpiness on the church. I need to make sure that I'm here to help the congregation, and then I will do no harm. Then I will be helping the brethren. If you think about it, the best teachers that you know are the ones that love the church the most. Those are the best teachers you will ever hear, the ones that care the most about the church. And so if we are going to edify the church, we need to learn to care about the church. Those of you that are young and have just started giving lessons, those of you that are young and maybe will be giving lessons soon, remember this is important for you to remember that I need to do this because I care about the church. And those of us that are seasoned and have spoken for many years, we must never forget this. This is number one. Do I love the Lord and do I love his church? Be clean. Let us be clean, we that bear the vessels of the Lord. As further incentive for our edification of the church, remember 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12, where Paul says, "Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel." Excellence. Excellence. Not in how much money we make or how high up the ladder we've gone, but how well do you edify the church? There is a worthy goal. Do I excel at helping my brethren? That's the goal for us to have. Good excellence in building the Lord's church, and a good kind of covetousness is spoken of here in this 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12:31, where Paul ends that chapter by saying, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." So our desires should be for the ways we can edify the church the best. Is that your desire? We must apply ourselves to that. And he ends up there by saying, "I'll show you the more excellent way," which reminds us of what he says then in the next chapter about love. You know, even if you had the proper pulpit procedure and could always approach a lesson the right way, mechanically, if we don't have love, remember, it's just a clanging cymbal. It's not really going to help. It might sound good. It might look good, but it's not really going to help us. So we need to make sure that we have the love and that we covet, desire to do our very best. Paul is telling us to put our energy into an eternal accomplishment, not just a physical, temporary accomplishment, but something that will last forever. Do you realize what a fulfilling thing it is to have somebody come up to you many years after you've said something and tell you that they still remember what you said? That's amazing, because we're not used to people remembering things that long. But a person can remember what you have told them when you bring it from the Word of God. They can remember it for the rest of their life. That's one of the honorary things about being a teacher. You young men, to be a teacher, you have the opportunity to share in the glory of God's Word. These words are the best words ever written. They're eternal words. And by teaching them, you get a little bit of the glory reflected onto you. And we all know what this is like, because there are many verses in the Bible that whenever we think of them, we think of the person who first showed that to us. We can tie that verse and that passage in with the one who brought it to us. And we love the person who brought it to us. "I'm so glad they showed me that verse. I had never seen that verse before. I'd read it, but I never thought about it." And you can share in that honor of being the one that helped somebody see what God said. On the other hand, remember, if we're not looking at this as an honor and a privilege, we could end up wasting time. We mentioned that earlier. But you ought to think about this so you'll be real sober about it. You know, if we're speaking to a group of 100 people and we're taking 30 minutes, that's 3,000 minutes. That's over 2 days. You're taking up 2 days of time in someone else's life, in the collective lives of everyone here. So you can do a lot of good in that time, and you can, you know, waste it or do a lot of damage. This is important, what we're doing here when we have a group and we're teaching them the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 14 and 26, this is very simply put, but this is probably the most important thing to think about when you're preparing your lesson. If you're clean, if your attitude's right, here is your goal right here in 1 Corinthians 14, 26. "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying." There is our rule right there. Will this edify the church? Will this make the church stronger than what it was before I got up here? That's our goal. I remember one time when I was going to a meeting, I talked to my dad on the phone, and my dad has been one of my best examples throughout life, and I will be eternally grateful to him for that. And I told him we were going to a meeting, and his advice to me was, edify, edify, edify. And that was right. You can't forget that. It's easy to remember, and that's exactly what the Lord teaches. Build up the church. Make the church strong. Make them strong in the faith, strong in love, strong in all of the things the Lord wants us to live as Christians. So whatever your part is, let's edify one another. Do your very best. Remember, those of us that were at Gregory this afternoon, Brother Joshua talked to us about diligence. And diligence is something you can apply directly to preparing a good lesson. If you don't apply diligence to your lesson, it's just not going to be as edifying as it could be. The difference between a good lesson and an outstanding lesson is not very much. It is not very much. It's really diligence. That's the only difference. If you just put in some more effort, sometimes it's surprising how much, it's not really that much effort, but just put in the extra effort and it can become an outstanding lesson. Diligence. 2 Timothy 2:15. That's what that first word is. Study. Study means do your diligence. Do your best. It literally means speed. Speed. Do your very best to show yourself approved unto God. Approved unto God is what we're after here. There are some who want to hear a lesson that is entertaining. Some like a lesson that's funny. Well, if you want to know how to give funny lessons, listen to comedians. They're the experts on that. But if you want to be approved unto God, we're on a more serious path. We're on a deeper, more fulfilling path. Laughter is like crackling thorns under a pot. It's exciting, but then where'd they go? But this is satisfying. And so to edify, we need to stay with what God says. We want to be approved unto God. A workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To edify the church, always be sure that we're rightly dividing the truth. Handling it right, cutting it straight. We want to be like Paul was when he said in 2 Corinthians 2 and 17, we are not as many who corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, as of God, in the spirit, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. In God, in the sight of God, that's how we speak. God is listening. God is here. God is watching what we're thinking. He's watching what we're doing. And so the speaker must reflect that as well. Always do your very best. I remember Brother Bill Hensley, whom many of us knew. He was asked one time about all the lessons he'd given over the years, and he made a good statement, made me think. He said, I've always approached every lesson that whether it's 100 listeners or whether it's 5 listeners, I give it all I've got. And he's talking about diligence. He's talking about doing your very best, whether it's just a few or whether it's a lot. You do your very best. That's diligence. There's an old saying. I think I heard it from C.R. Turner first, but the saying was that if you want me to talk for 5 minutes, give me a week and I'll be ready. If you want me to talk for 20 minutes, give me 3 hours and I'll be ready. If you want me to talk for an hour, I'm ready right now. See, that's about diligence. That's about diligence. If I can just talk and talk and talk and talk, well, I can throw things together as I go. But if I want it organized, if I want it decent and in order, I need to think about it. I need to prepare it. And that's where diligence comes in. We need to apply the golden rule. In addition to the things we've said about being clean and edifying the church, apply the golden rule. Speak to the brethren the way you like to be spoken to. And that's pretty easy, isn't it, to think about that. I asked my wife, what do you consider to be a good lesson? She came up with some great answers. I should have had my typewriter going when she said that. But she said, first of all, a good lesson is one that causes me to do better. And that's true. It will make me want to do better. Okay, so I should make lessons that will help us want to do better. Not discourage us or make us feel like we're dirt, but to make us feel like through Christ we can do it. Another thing that we look for in a good lesson, one that motivates us to clean out our closet, to see things inside of us that we haven't seen before. And you don't have to know anybody's lives to know how to do that. The Word of God does that. So bringing out the Word of God will cause us to examine ourselves and see, oh, I got a problem. Something's wrong with me. And in addition to that, a lesson that helps me to treat everyone better and reminds me that all of us have problems, so that none of us is lifted up and gets to thinking that we're better than others. We aren't. These are good lessons. A good lesson is one that makes the Word of God more clear and applicable to my life. And these are things that go along with the golden rule. If I want to hear lessons like that, I should make my lessons that way too. Now, on the other hand, a bad lesson is one that's not very well prepared, maybe one that's negative. One that shows a lack of enthusiasm, self-centered. He sure talks about himself a lot, doesn't he? Those things could be entertaining, but they're not edifying. We want to edify and strengthen the congregation, so we need to remember the golden rule. Remember, when you're speaking, you get to feed the flock. So think about feeding when you think about getting a lesson. I'm preparing a meal. Here are the delicious raw ingredients. These are delicious. And some of them you can serve raw, but you really need to cook all these. And the oven is your heart. That's where you cook these. Don't add anything to it. Don't add to the Word of God, but believe it. Add your conviction to what God says. And serve it right from the oven. Don't let it sit out and get cold. Serve it right from the oven. And remember, God designed the digestive system with limitations. We notice this when we go to the buffet or the basket dinner. We have limitations. I want some of that. I want some of that. I want some of that. And when you're preparing a lesson, you'll find all kind. Oh, look at all this good material here. But you've only got 30 minutes. And God only designed so much to go in at a time. Just abide at a time. Just abide at a time. Doesn't matter how good the food is, you can't force more than what a person can take. So that means let's pick out the best. That's what you do at dinner. Is if you don't have room for all the good things, you say, well, I like this the best. I've got to have some of that. And I like this. So you limit yourself through self-control. So, don't overfeed. Some of you that are younger, maybe you've never heard the story. The older ones have, but the story about the preacher who went and held the meeting, and things were going along fine until one night there was a terrible storm, and so it was just the preacher and the farmer. And the preacher wasn't sure what to do, so he asked the farmer brother, he said, well, do you think we should have services tonight? I mean, it's just you and me. Farmer says, well, I don't know much about preaching, but I do know about farming. And I know that if I went out to feed the cattle and only one showed up, I'd still feed him. So the preacher, he said, that sounds good to me. So he got up and he preached. And it's just the farmer there. And he preached, went way over time. Afterwards, he talked to the farmer, and the farmer says, well, brother, I don't know much about preaching, but I do know that if I went out to feed the cattle and only one of them showed up, I wouldn't give him the whole load. So don't, you can't give the whole load. You have to give what we can handle in one sitting. So when presenting a lesson, think of it as presenting a meal. Our sisters normally are the ones that provide our physical food, and we men are responsible for making good spiritual meals. We have got to fix good spiritual food. Don't put it on to the sisters. Don't expect them to be leaders in the church. God gave it to us to be the leaders, to be the teachers in public. We need to make that take that responsibly and make sure we teach the right things. 1 Corinthians 14 and 40 sometimes is quoted, and it's quoted as though it doesn't apply anymore or it's a silly verse. It's the Word of God. When Paul said, "Let all things be done decently and in order," that applies to how you edify the church. The word decently is a beautiful word. It comes from a word which means good form or figure. Our lessons should have good form. They should have good figure. They should look good. They should be orderly. Decorously, honestly are synonyms for decently. Well-formed. Figuratively, it means decorous or noble in rank. Orderly comes from a word which means regular arrangement, a fixed succession of rank or character. That's what we should think about when we're preparing our lesson. Is this in order? Is this appropriate? Is it honorable and noble? That's the way we should prepare the Word of God. Along those lines, you should apply that to how you present yourself, how you your appearance, because your appearance does matter. Your appearance makes a statement. And while we don't have a dress code, other than let's all have modest apparel, even the word modest means appropriate. It means orderly. It means whatever is fitting. Does your dress, when you're edifying the church, does your dress show that you mean business with God's Word? Or does it look like you're about ready to mow the lawn? We want everyone to know by our appearance that we take this seriously. So in everything we do, show that we care about God's Word. Decently and in order reminds us of composition. Composition helps us to give good lessons, doesn't it? If you use composition, you have your introduction, you have your body, you have your conclusion. Your introduction should show everyone why they ought to listen to what you're going to say and do it in an edifying way. There's lots of ways you can get people's attention, but do it in a way that's edifying. Don't do it in such a way that people only remember the attention getter and they forget all about your lesson. God wants us to be organized, and it's good to remember that. As someone once said, one good way to give a lesson is tell us what you're going to say, tell it, and then tell us what you said. That's a good orderly way of going about a lesson. It wouldn't necessarily be needed for every lesson, but that's very helpful. One of the things we need to make sure, and this goes along with our appearance, is to make sure we demonstrate godliness in our lesson. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. We are to add godliness, and that word godliness means well-reverent. Show reverence in your appearance, in your presentation. Show a respect for what God says, and that helps others to respect God's Word. I remember when I was a child, I heard different sermons, like many of us here did, and I don't remember things that were said, but I remember appearance. I remember the attitude of the speaker. I remember those that seemed to take this seriously, and I can remember a few that it didn't seem like this meant very much to them. That's something we must always remember, is that a part of the lesson is you. You're a part of the lesson, and people remember how you treated the Bible. They'll remember how you treated the lesson. So make sure that we are examples of godliness. Make sure we cut out the fables, 1 Timothy 1 and 4. Fables, as Paul said, minister questions. We are not up here to be question ministers. We are not to leave everybody up in the air with questions. We are to land on the truth. So don't just minister questions. Well, I was just trying to get everybody to think. Well, you can get people to think just by presenting the Word of God. The Word of God makes us think. You don't have to bring up these hypothetical questions or these loaded questions. Bring us the Word of God. That will make everyone think, and think the way that we should. We should remember 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Verse 24. 22 is good too, but 24 is the one I'm mainly concerned about. The servant of the Lord mustn't strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, and patience. Remember that the pulpit is not for a place for you and me to vent. This is not where we get to give our pet peeves. You know what really bothers me? You know what I can't stand? Well, what difference does that make? We want to know what God wants. We want to know what God doesn't like. We want to know what God likes. So don't use this as a place to vent. This is the place to show meekness, to be apt to teach, to instruct. Tell us what God says. Don't just laugh at something or make fun of it or get mad at it. Tell us what the Bible says, and you will be a good servant, a good minister of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4 and 12, a verse familiar to many of us, and also verse 13. Remember, it tells us there how powerful and alive the Word of God is, and that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and the joints of the marrow, and it discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It explains what we're thinking. How many times has someone come up to you? I know they've come up to me a lot, and they've said, "That lesson, it was like you were talking right at me." And I'm not even thinking about them. I didn't think about them one time. But that's the Word of God. That's what it's doing. It's hitting us. It's cutting us and opening us up. When a brother handles right, when he cuts straight the Word of God, I feel like I've had heart surgery. I've been opened up. I feel like I've had a shower. I've been cleaned by the Word of God. That's the goal we should have, is that we present the Word of God in such a way that it can do that for our brethren. So be careful of adding extra stuff to it. Don't pollute it with your opinions. Don't make it sour. Don't pickle it. Make sure that it's the sincere milk of the Word. Teach the Word of God. Remember, you're handling the sword of the Spirit. And remember, you're speaking as His oracle. How would you speak if you viewed it as God gave you the message and He wanted you to tell everybody? You'd take care of it. You'd say, "This is exactly what God wants us to do." Well, that's what the Bible is, isn't it? It's exactly what God wants, so we should handle it correctly. Remember where the new covenant is, according to Hebrews chapter 8, beginning in verse 10. Where is the new covenant? Yes, it's in our heart. So remember that when you give a lesson. Make sure it's here in your heart. Make sure it's here in your heart. There's three different ways. There's more than this, but three basic ways you can give a lesson. You can give an impromptu lesson, but most people don't like to do that because it puts you on the spot. Because an impromptu lesson is where you find out on your way up to the podium. You don't have any time to prepare. It's a test of how well you know things, and it can work all right if it's a subject you're familiar with. But ordinarily, that's not the way to speak. You can also write out your lesson. Now, that can work, but in order for it to work, I've noticed that you pretty well have to have it memorized. You have to have it pretty well down pat in your heart. The danger of this, and this goes along with maybe sort of with props and other things, laptops, PowerPoint presentations, those can be done in the right way. But the danger of those is that you can leave the lesson in the laptop and it's not here. And that's a problem. You can do it on paper too. The lesson will end up being here and you're trying to find the lesson. The lesson needs to be here, warmed up by your conviction, your faith, and your belief in what's being said. You've heard people talk about the teleprompter. What does the teleprompter cause you to think about? Sincerity? No sincerity. The teleprompter is like, yeah, as long as somebody's giving me the right words. But that's not the way Christianity is. The words are here inside of us. And so extemporaneous is probably the best way, and the way most of us speak, where you're allowed to prepare, you're allowed to have notes, but you're also needing to depend on what you know about these subjects. These should mainly be your points that will remind you and help you stay organized. The old saying is so true. When you give a lesson, you should ask yourself, do you have something to say, or do you have to say something? It should be, I have something to say. Not, oh, I've got to say something. Oh, what do I say? That's not going to go over very well. We want to have something to say. True eloquence comes from the heart. Remember, brother was talking about how his teacher in school was encouraging him to read the right way, and he said, read it like you were there, Billy. Read it like you were there. And we should think about that with our lessons as well. Put ourselves in the place of these who are in the Bible, and put some fire into the sermon. Put some fire into the sermon, or put the sermon in the fire. Put some feeling into it. Remember to speak up and be clear. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15 through 17. Paul says, you're praying in tongues, and you're praying, you're giving thanks well, but no one's edified. And how can the brother say amen when he didn't understand what you said? We need to apply that to the church, even though none of us are speaking in tongues. We need to apply that to church and remember that unless I speak up, nobody's going to understand me. Some of us have a problem with that, some of us that don't have big voices. It's all right if you don't have a big voice, but make sure you try to compensate and speak so that everyone can hear you. Then they can say amen, then they can be edified. So remember that. I have to work on that as well. And remember brevity. Brevity is the soul of wit. That was a line from Shakespeare. And Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 14. He said, I speak in tongues more than all of you, but I'd rather say 5 words you could understand than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. We need to remember that. If somebody got up here and gave a lesson that was 5 words long, I'm not sure what your reaction would be, but you'd probably remember what they said. You'd never forget. I'll never forget the lesson. I can remember everything he said. You can? Yeah, it was only 5 words. And remember that in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, and that the fool's voice is known for the multitude of words. Remember, when you're giving a lesson, make it like a pencil. Sharpen it and put a point on it. Make sure you have a point. I remember one time a brother was supposed to apologize in front of the congregation for something he'd done that was pretty serious. Well, he's a very intelligent man, and he wrote this philosophical, fancy statement. And after he was done, most of everybody was, did he say he was sorry? It did not make that point. It just sounded like lots of fancy words. So when we're speaking to the brethren, make sure that we are speaking words that are understandable, that are to the point. And if you don't strike oil in 30 minutes, stop boring. The only time that the pulpit is used in the Bible is in the Old Testament in Nehemiah chapter 8. And that's a wonderful passage to study on your own. But I want us to remember just a couple things that were said there. In verse 8, they reading the book of the law in front of all of Israel, Judah, and the Bible says they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And this helped the people immensely. It edified the Jewish nation because these men took the time to read the law and help everyone understand what it's saying. That's our job today. bring out the word of God and help us. Help us understand what it's saying. Don't simply say, well, this verse pretty much means what it says. Well, it might, but sometimes we need a little help. I need a little help in understanding that. Verse 12 of that eighth chapter, all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth. Why? Because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. They understood the words that were declared to them. And that's our goal. When we bring out the word of God, help the brethren to understand these words. And you too will be blessed. You can make brethren glad by what you say. You can make them glad for eternity. Or you can just make them glad when you get down from the pulpit. All's well that ends well. Another play of Shakespeare, but he had a good point. That's not only true of a lesson, that's true of life itself. Your life will be good if it ends well. And the best way to end your life is to know that you edified the church. We've been talking, of course, about the men's role in speaking and teaching from here, but we can all edify in other ways outside the assembly, in our families, in our homes. And I hope that this lesson has caused us to remember things we've known and maybe things we haven't thought of before, but to make sure that our lives are known because we edified the church. And God will be pleased, and we will have a sense of real fulfillment knowing that we helped our brethren. We'll close our lesson tonight with an invitation. If anyone here is ready to give your life to the Lord, you have that opportunity. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, then confess your faith, repent, and be baptized so your sins can be forgiven, so you can be added to the church. If we can help you in your obedience, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.